Hello, strangers, and welcome to Gas About Games. My name's Greg.
And I'm Sam, and that's right, we're back.
We're sorry it's been a while, just a short year or so. but we, you know, sometimes you got to look after yourself for a little bit. So, you know, you guys make sure you look after yourselves, and we will try our best to look after ourselves.
Yeah, and we're back and better than ever.
Oh, yeah, this is what I'm referring to as season two.
Season two. We just took a year off.
Yeah, just a gap year. Just a quick gap
that's
year.
That's a good way of looking
at it. And now we're back
it.
For season two.
Gap year.
So this, at the beginning of, so normally what we do is at the end of every year, we talk about our bests from the year before. So we're going to do that today.
Yes.
As is tradition, but we're a little bit late. Sorry about that. And then in a couple of weeks' time, we're also going to be doing an episode about what we're looking forward to in 2026. We are fully aware that it is already 2026. Today is the 22nd of January.
We're a little bit late, but now we have more of more trailers have come out, more news stories have come out, so we have
an idea
of what's actually going to happen in the year rather than mindless speculation,
which is
what we did last year.
Entirely tactical.
Yes,
we've done this completely tactically.
Exactly.
So I wanted to start off by just talking about some of the stuff that we talked about last year, if that's okay with you.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So I wanted to talk just briefly. I'm going to just whiz through these because otherwise this podcast is going to be like 4 hours long if we recap.
We're doing a recap of a previous,
recap, yeah.
a commentary on a previous podcast.
Yeah, that's what the people want. It's like something so meta and far removed. Just briefly, last year we talked about 10 different movies. Can you guess how many I watched?
Wait, so this is 10 movies that we were looking forward to watching?
That we were looking forward to watching.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm trying to remember what actually came out last year that we would have been looking forward to. Is it all the Marvel films, I imagine, right? We were really looking forward to the new
movie.
Captain America film.
We didn't mention a single Marvel movie or Captain America movie.
Oh, nope. 10 movies we were looking forward to.
10 movies, yep. How many do you think I watched? Just pick a number between 1 and 10.
1.
Not quite. I watched 2 out of the 10 movies we talked
about. Oh, that's
not bad. We talked about The Day the Earth Blew Up, which was a Looney Tunes movie. We talked about the Minecraft movie.
Did that come out?
I think so. Very
quietly. I don't think it did.
Did it not come out?
I don't know.
Maybe it got canned.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Sorry, go on.
Minecraft movie.
Oh, we did not see that, no.
No, I didn't see it either. A Complete Unknown, which I think you saw, but I didn't.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, this is the...
it was a Bob Dylan biopic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you talked about it. That definitely wasn't me that brought that to the table. The Lilo and Stitch live adaptation, I haven't watched. How to Train Your Dragon, the live adaptation, I haven't watched. Elio, I did watch, and it was quite good. Okay. Zootopia 2, I haven't watched it yet, but I will at some point. The F1 movie, I didn't watch that.
Oh, I watched that.
Hey! And guess who brought it up? It was you. Wicked 2, I was brave enough to see that in the cinema.
Oh,
it was
nice.
Pretty good. And Naked Gun, I haven't watched, which was Liam Neeson in Naked Gun. We did a lot of pee-taking about Liam Neeson being in Naked Gun. But apparently it's all right.
That film was surprisingly good.
Yeah.
I was genuinely surprised at that one.
There you go. So that's our brief recap of films. Let's talk about TV now. Out of the 8 TV shows that we talked about, how many did I watch?
I'm going to say all 8. Watched all of them.
No? 4.5.
Oh, and a half? What happened to the half?
The half was SNL's 50th episode.
Oh, okay.
And I've seen clips.
Right,
I haven't actually watched
that
whole episode.
You didn't like fall asleep or
no.
Give up halfway through the season.
So I watched Daredevil Born Again. I didn't watch Ironheart.
Oh, I did not either.
Didn't watch Marvel Zombies. I did watch Stranger Things and enjoyed Stranger Things. I did watch The Last of Us Season 2. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch Severance Season 2. That was probably you.
Yeah.
And I did watch Andor Season 2, and I also enjoyed that.
Okay.
We also briefly talked about The Muppets making a comeback, and they've now announced a Muppets TV show, which I'm very excited about.
Right. It's like a variety show, right?
It's basically The Muppet Show, but modern.
Are they just bringing it back? Seth Rogen is there?
Yes.
Is that right? I remember seeing the trailer.
Yes.
I don't know why.
I don't know if he's one of the guests, because Sabrina Carpenter is also there.
Oh, okay.
So I'm presuming, because it's a rotating guest every week.
Is it actually?
He's one of the guests, she's one of the guests.
It's not like a comedy built around the concept of a talk show, of a variety show. It's an actual variety show.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that sounds good. I'll watch that.
Music-wise, how many out of the 4 different things we talked about did I listen to?
I'm going
to
say none of them came out.
I listened to one of them.
Okay.
I listened to the Kesha album.
Okay.
It was fine. I didn't listen to Franz Ferdinand. I didn't listen to The Wombats. And I didn't listen to The Darkness.
No, I didn't either.
But in other news, Sub Radio did release an album, which was nice.
Okay.
And Stranger Things kids are still doing music.
They're all doing music, aren't they?
They are. Do all seem to be because
apart from Millie Bobby Brown, no, I don't think she does music.
No, no, no.
But Sadie Sink and the guy at the mic.
Yeah, so Finn Wolfhard is doing music. Sadie Sink is doing music, and obviously
the main guy, Joe.
I don't think he's the main guy.
I mean, no, he's not the main character, but the
you're just obsessed
the most
with that hair.
Yeah, that's the hair. But I mean, easily the most successful musician in his own right.
Yeah, 100%.
But what was his name again?
Joe Keery.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Okay. It took me a minute to remember that. Yeah, but I got that.
Well, he released that one popular song at least.
And Gaten Maserato, aka, or I can't remember what his character name is.
Yes.
Dustin.
Okay.
He's doing like Broadway.
Oh.
So he's been in Les Mis and stuff like that. So yeah, he's doing music, but in a different way.
I think he came from that background actually. I think some of them did, didn't they?
Yeah.
So he's
going. And then briefly, video games, if you're ready. Are you guess how many of the games that we talked about I played?
I would say one.
No, I played none.
None of them. Okay.
Not a single one.
But you're really looking forward to it.
But I have booked a trip to Super Nintendo World, and I may buy a Switch 2 at some point.
Well, that's good.
So we talked about Super Nintendo World. We talked about Pokemon ZA. We talked about GTA 6, still not out. We talked about Fable. We talked about Hello Kitty Wild Adventure. We talked about the new Turnip Boy Robs a Bank, which I want to play. We talked about Silk Song, which I also haven't played. We talked about Big Walk, which is the Untitled Goose Game.
Oh, yes.
Game. And we've talked about Metro Prime 4. Did you play any of those?
I think no.
Did you get a Switch 2, though?
Yes.
Hey!
Does that count as a... Were we not looking
forward
to...
You got more than
to...
I did. You got one.
Were we not looking forward to the new Mario Kart game? That sounds surprising, because that's...
Nope. Apparently,
I guess that wasn't
announced. I think it wasn't announced, yeah. So there was nothing to look forward to because there was nothing.
Because there was nothing announced. Yeah, there were exactly. Three games announced.
Yeah, yeah.
But there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Just a quick run through of all the stuff we talked about last year.
So that's a good indication of how good our preview will be next time.
Exactly. So where do you want to start? Should we talk about... I wanted to talk about news and events.
Okay.
Not related to the world, but just related to
the current events were a little bit
There wasn't anything fun in the news when I had a look, so I just kind of skipped over it. I had two trips to Disney in 2025.
Oh, okay, yes. That's
so I went to Paris with some friends and my wife, and I also went to California with my wife, which was super fun. I've not been to Paris in like 10 plus years, and I'd never been to California, so that was super fun for
new experiences.
Me. Yeah, exactly. Which was really, really cool. And we both went on an experience, and we went to KIJ.
KIJ was definitely a big experience.
So to explain KIJ for the audience, just briefly. KIJ is Kent International Jamboree. It's a scout thing. Basically, there's 7,000 scouts all in one location at the same time. And there's just like loads of fun activities and all that kind of stuff. And also we got a surprise guest at the end of the week.
Yeah, we did. So firstly, the atmosphere was sort of very much kind of how I imagine like a festival would be.
Yeah.
As you say, just constant, there's just constant activities going on.
Yeah.
There's just like music and just events, and every night there was something crazy going on. Wasn't there?
Yep.
The closing ceremony, I think they call it, right?
Yeah,
Scouting for Girls were there.
Yeah,
Scouting for Girls. Surprise.
Yeah, exactly. That was a very big surprise. I was completely blown away by that. Normally, they sort of do this big reveal, and it's like a cover artist of someone from the local area. But this time around, it was actually a big band, which was a band I'd actually heard of, which was super cool.
So I think the reason it was even better was because the opening ceremony, I think it was a Coldplay cover band who was fine, but I think he was, you know, they were very good at what they were doing, I'm sure. But it just wasn't the right vibe or the right
I think that
audience
for that. The people who I think it maybe wasn't quite what our explorers were looking for.
Yeah,
I'm not a massive Coldplay fan, so I'm going to be very biased.
I think that's probably what it part of what it was. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was a very good surprise.
So yeah, that was super cool.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you that was your first camp.
That was my first ever camp,
which is, and it was crazy. Like, that is such a like everything you go to from now onwards,
right,
is going to be very different. Yeah. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I don't know. It was. It's very difficult to kind of prepare for something like that because you don't. I didn't have any expectations, really. I mean, no. I knew there were going to be a lot of people there.
Yes, I tried to explain to you that this is big.
Like, yes,
this is you're really having a baptism of fire.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. So yeah, it was very good. It was a lot. It was a lot to take in.
Yes,
it was a really good experience.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm glad you had fun. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
So yeah. Good. So that was my news and events. Did you have anything that you wanted to talk about? You went on an adventure to Scotland.
Oh yes, yes. We went on the. It's called the North Coast 500, so it's like the sort of the top of Scotland.
Yeah, I imagine it being like the Indy 500, right?
Slightly slower and slightly more mountainous.
Mm.
So yeah, me and my dad went on a fun adventure on all the roads. Quite spectacular scenery. We would stop every few hundred, few miles or whatever, just to take in the views. There'd be like an old derelict castle or something just on the side of the road, or like a nature reserve or something. There's just always something. We tried lots of the Scottish cuisine.
Oh yeah, so did you brave the haggis and all that kind of stuff? Wow,
yeah,
okay.
Tried haggis. Yeah.
How did you find that?
It was quite spicy. It was very different. It was an interesting it was like a spicy like mince kind of thing.
Yeah. I think that's a fair way to describe it.
It was good.
Yeah.
The food was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of like fish and lots of
are right where the fish come from, so that's pretty convenient.
Well, there are a lot of so we happened to stop at a lot of coastal towns because
we
were driving up the coast, I suppose.
Yes, that makes sense.
So
wait, the coastal towns having fish and chip shops? Crazy.
So a lot of the places were like, this is the dish of the day is the fish because it's a coastal fish.
Yes, because we literally pulled it out of the water an hour ago.
Exactly. Yeah. It was very, very fresh, very tasty.
Cool.
It was a very nice area of the country. Lots of whiskey distilleries.
Mm, not while driving, though, obviously.
No. But but there were just signposts, so many signposts for distillery tours and things.
Yeah.
It's like every few hundred meters or whatever.
Wow.
There were a lot. There were a lot of distilleries. I'm concerned.
Yeah. The Scottish people were okay. Are they doing all right?
So.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to cover in the news and events section? Which is not really news, but it's kind of events, personal events and news.
No, I mean, the only news story that I thought was quite funny was did you hear about the drunk raccoon?
No, but this sounds great. I don't remember it anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, there was this this raccoon that would raided like a liquor store or something and just drank all the alcohol.
I remember this guy.
And then there's just a photo of the raccoon just passed out on the floor.
Like bottles around
and bottles everywhere. And it was hilarious.
Amazing.
And that was the my favorite news story.
That's the most important news story
of the year. That was the only fun news story.
That's the kind of news I want. I really want just like, I don't know, once a week somebody just post wonderful news like that.
Yeah.
Like, here's
a nice fun raccoon story.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, right. Do we want to start with films?
Yes, films is what I've got first as well.
Would you like to go first?
I can go first.
Okay.
Last year, I should say, I decided, I'm not sure why, it would be a good idea to watch all of the Disney animation films.
Yep.
From the beginning.
Yep.
I don't know why. I think because you talk about Disney quite a lot.
A fan. I'm quite deep in. Yep, that's fair.
So I thought, maybe... it's a bit of a gap in my watching history, I suppose, is Disney. Majority of the Disney films.
Yep.
So I decided to start from the beginning. So I started from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs,
which is the first full feature animation.
It would be very difficult to watch every single thing that Disney ever put out.
So many things. Yeah, a lot of them are lost media. So
Oh, okay. So I just stuck with the feature length.
Yes, or, that's sensible.
Theatrical release.
Yes.
Feature length.
Yeah. Because
there's animation.
All the Disney Channel original movies as well.
Yes.
And all that stuff. So you're gonna it gets a bit soupy. So you have to focus on the important movies.
Yeah. So I started with I've seen the first 15 films.
Nice. Wow, that's further than I thought you were, to be fair.
But I'm still only in the 50s.
Yeah, okay.
So I watched Snow White, which is good. Mm-hmm. Pinocchio was creepy.
Yeah, I think that's fair. They have a dark ride of that in one of the parks, and it is as horrific as the film.
Right. I was shocked at quite how much sort of like horrifying things there are in these films.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whether intentional or not, I don't know.
No, I think that was intentional. I don't think you can spoil a movie that's from the 50s, but like they get a kid drunk and turn him into a donkey.
Yes, I didn't understand that part at all. I assume there's like some hidden like metaphor and things behind some
don't
of these
talk
things,
to or strangers. Was it just crazy? I don't know. I don't know, man.
Pinocchio, Fantasia.
Yeah,
was 2 hours long.
It's long.
I struggled through that one.
Yeah.
I think Dumbo was equally as crazy with the pink elephants.
Again, alcohol.
Down. Yeah.
The Dumbo drinks alcohol and sees pink elephants.
Oh, okay. So maybe it's like a warning.
Yeah, don't drink. You'll see pink elephants.
what else was fun? The three Caballeros I've wrote down.
Yeah, Caballeros, yeah.
Which I was completely... Oh, yeah, Daffy Duck being completely unintelligible, I wrote down.
Yes, he... Yeah. Poor Donald. He's bad at this.
Because there's some weird ones in the 40s, because they're more like advertisements for certain countries.
Yes.
Like tourist advertisements.
Yes, exactly that.
So some of those.
Yep.
Cinderella I watched, which was quite good.
It's kind of a classic Disney movie. Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland, which I found also creepy and disturbing.
That's fair. Don't drink tea, maybe the warning is for that. Yep.
And then Peter Pan, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, Peter Pan's all right.
Some parts are a little culturally insensitive, I wrote down.
Entirely correct. Yep. I'm not going to disagree with that.
And then the last Disney film I watched was Lady and the Tramp, which had these terrifying Siamese cats.
Again, questionable.
Oh, because they're... Oh, I see, yes, because they're Siamese cats.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And with the eyes, and with the, like, you know, white people played those characters?
I was, sorry, I didn't, okay, I didn't make that connection, so, no. So that's
yeah, so that's also...
okay, maybe we'll brush over that.
Yeah, just gonna skip it.
That's the Disney extension.
Yes, exactly. I think that a lot of companies from that era were all doing the same stuff. It's not forgivable, but it did happen.
It did happen.
And it is what it is.
Yes.
My first thing I've got on my list is... where do I start? I watched K-Pop Demon Hunters this year.
Oh, that's on my list as well.
And I quite enjoyed it. It was quite a good, fun movie. There's some tunes in there. Everything's very catchy. And there's some like good moments, and it's just kind of fun movie.
Yeah, I like the animation because it's
animation style's really cool.
The same as those Spider-Man animated ones. It's the same company, I think.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, like that really stylized, almost stop motion kind of style of animation that they did.
It looks really cool. Yeah.
The songs were sort of all in the charts. I think a lot of those songs have just been in the top 40 for a long, long time.
Yeah.
They just keep playing those. Yeah, that's that was a good film.
But yeah, no, I really enjoyed that this year. So yeah, that was one of my top five movies. What about you, Sam? What you got next? So you just got the Disney ones?
Another cheat really is I just put down the Marvel films. I watched all of the Marvel films.
All of the Marvel films,
The ones that were released this year.
Yeah. I watched all the Marvel films as well this year, I think. What? Which ones are they?
So there's three. There's Captain America.
Yep, it was okay.
Brave New World, which is Harrison Ford gets really angry.
Yes, and turns red.
He's the president for some reason.
Yep.
Which I thought might be like a not so subtle metaphor for Trump, do you think?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think it's got that sort of vibe for it. Yeah, for sure.
Who smashes everything.
Yes.
The next one was Thunderbolts.
Yes, I thought that one was all right, actually. I quite enjoyed Thunderbolts.
It's a bit like Guardians of the Galaxy, where it's like a group of...
Like a ragtag team.
Or maybe it's more like the Suicide Squad, because they're all kind of expendable...
Yes.
People and missions, maybe?
Yeah.
And then the last one is Fantastic Four.
Yes, I thought that was quite good as well.
I think that was the best of the three.
Yes.
It's kind of very 50s futuristic style.
For me, that and Thunderbolts were kind of similar in scoring.
Okay.
But the Captain America one was less.
Oh, yeah.
So, for me, personally. But yeah, I get that.
It was a bit forgettable.
Yeah. I can't tell you anything that happened.
The only thing I remember is that, Harrison Ford was in it.
Harrison Ford gets angry, smashes some things.
The Hulk. The Red Hulk, sorry.
The Red Hulk, yes.
Not to be confused with the Green Hulk.
Yeah. Okay, so my next movie on my list, I actually braved seeing in the cinema, and I mentioned a little bit earlier, was Wicked for Good.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And it was very good. It was very for good.
is this part, this is part two of two?
This
is it?
Part two.
Okay,
of two,
so it ends the
it ends
the story.
Duology.
Yes.
Ology?
I don't know.
The
actually,
two.
okay. I mean, I'm still yet to see the first one, so I might watch.
Yeah, they're both good films. They're obviously like based on the musical.
Yeah.
And yeah, they add some extra songs in.
Mm.
I didn't overly notice the extra songs.
Okay.
Emily said they weren't as good as the originals, but
right.
I have seen the original on the West End.
Yeah.
And it was many, many years ago, and I can't remember which songs are which.
Well, that's probably if you can't distinguish, if there's no massive chasm in quality
no,
that
I
you
didn't
could notice,
notice
then
notice
that's
anything.
Probably they probably did a good job
yeah.
then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it all looked very good, and it was very fun. So yeah, if you ever get a chance, Wicked and Wicked for Good.
Yeah, I do need. I'll definitely watch the first one at some point.
Yeah,
and probably see the stage show. I suppose. Is it? How does it compare to the stage show? Is it better?
I don't know. The stage show was so long ago.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the stage show. It was very good, but it was a very long time ago. We also got one of my favorite things to ever happen on stage before they stopped the show. There's this big number at the end of Act One that's like probably the biggest song in the film.
Oh, it's that Gravity film.
Yes,
isn't it?
Defying Gravity. That's the name of the song. In the stage show, the Wicked Witch goes to sing this song and flies up into the air in a big dramatic moment, and something went wrong and they went to do the song.
Oh no.
And then stage manager ran on stage and they closed the curtains and they shut the show for 5 minutes and then they reopened the curtains, restarted the song and went again. Which was pretty crazy. Like, they actually did a full show stop. Like, I've never seen that before.
No.
So,
in like a show that's big. But it's good that, although you got to enjoy it one and a half times instead of
it's true. Once. I got an extra little bit of that song, which is quite cool.
Get a bit more value. So.
Yeah.
And a good story to take away.
Yeah,
from it
I mean, it's
well.
One of the defining moments of the show. So they couldn't not do that.
Just say, we won't do this one.
Skip. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can't just skip a song.
Important, yeah.
That would be crazy if they did that. If they just closed the curtains and said, Act Two.
exactly.
Time for the interval.
Yeah, exactly. Bye.
Do they have to come over and announce that? Say, like, oh, by the way, we're.
Yeah, they sort of. I think they did a couple of announcements of like, there is a short intro.
Okay, yeah. They didn't just do it.
No, they were originally. Yeah, they just did it, and then they shut the curtains, and then there was a bit of a pause.
Yeah,
and then there was a like, oh, we'll be back in a minute.
We should probably do that song again.
Yeah, we'll take another go, which is pretty crazy. So yeah, go on then. What have you got next?
Okay, my next one is Paddington.
Paddington
films, which I watched over Christmas.
Yes, nice.
Very charming British films.
Yep.
It's about this bear who likes marmalade.
Yep. Which is the craziest plot if you're explaining it to somebody who's never heard of Paddington.
I don't think bears actually like... Do you think bears actually like marmalade? Like in the wild? I don't know.
I don't know
either. We should
It's sweet, so perhaps?
Yeah, maybe.
Like... They're known to like honey. Like, there's honey bears are a thing that exist. It's not
true,
just Winnie the Pooh.
Because it's very... I thought it was just Winnie the Pooh.
No.
That's weird, isn't it? The bears obsessed with honey and also marmalade.
Yes.
It's strange.
They just like sweet things.
Yes, they must just like sweet things. Yeah. But yes, Paddington was very good. And I enjoyed the latest one with Olivia Colman.
Yes.
Who was this... extremely suspicious nun.
And it turns out she was evil.
She was like, there's nothing suspicious here at all. It would
Don't
be her catchphrase.
Behind the glowing red wall.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But
her catchphrase was just like, there's nothing suspicious at all.
Yeah, I did have that on my list. I ended up taking it off. Just the third one. I'd seen the other two.
Yeah, okay.
A little while ago. But yeah, the third one was on my list, but I ended up taking it off. But what I did put on is a film that's a little bit older, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, which is the Seth Rogen animated one.
Oh, okay.
Which I remember seeing like ads for it and trailers, and I was like, oh, this, like, the animation style is really cool. It's very similar to like Across the Spider-Verse and all that kind of stuff. And I was intrigued just kind of on that alone. And I was like, I'll watch it at some point. And then it showed up on Netflix, and I was like, oh, I will watch this. And then I was pleasantly surprised. It was a really fun movie. Okay. And it's kind of exactly what you expect it to be. It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles being Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's really cool. I've never really been into Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles. I wasn't deep into it as a kid. Yeah. I probably watched a few episodes because it like came on after something I wanted to watch. You know how it was in the old days when we used to watch TV?
Live TV.
Just, you used to just sit, and this is going to sound crazy, kids, but you used to just sit in front of a TV and watch whatever was on.
Yes. You would just kind of put up with...
Yeah.
Whatever they decided was good, I suppose.
Yeah. You'd have like four channels to choose from, and that'd be it. That's it. That's all you get.
Which one did you watch? Did you watch one or three?
I think it was a bit of a mix, to be honest.
CBBC.
Yeah, CBBC.
I think was the way to go. Well, that's fun. I should check that one out.
Yeah, you should. It's definitely a good one, for sure.
And I've got one more.
Go on then. What you got?
Two more. Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, that's on my list, so that works out perfectly. Ooh, yes, it is.
Okay.
Vengeance Most Foul.
Yes,
the new
with
one.
Everyone's favourite Diabolical Penguin.
Yes, of course. Makes a comeback.
Feathers McGraw.
It's been a minute since
My
Feathers...
sister got me this amazing Feathers McGraw water bottle.
Such a beautiful... Did you leave that there as a prop?
No, I didn't. I just always have
this
water with me.
It's not a video podcast.
Oh, sorry.
I keep explaining
Imagine Feathers McGraw as a water bottle with like a chicken head.
Yeah, it's stunning. Very it cool. is a beautiful... It's the best water bottle. There's no better.
Yes, and that was my encouragement to watch it.
It's just yes. I love Wallace and Gromit. Like anything Aardman makes is great. Like,
yeah,
I don't think I've ever watched a bad Aardman movie.
True. I don't. Yeah. I mean,
people don't love that Pirates movie, but I quite enjoyed it.
Oh, so I don't think I think I've only really seen the Wallace and Gromit ones. I suppose. So I'd probably go back and check out
Chicken Run.
Oh, and Chicken Run, of course. Chicken Run. And that was a new Chicken Run.
Yes.
Actually, not that new.
I don't think I've seen the new Chicken Run.
Okay,
but I probably should at some point.
I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Not as good as the original, of course.
Obviously. Goes without saying. And then, I've got one last movie. So my one last movie, I saw quite a lot of reviews for online, and people sort of talked about how, like, the animation style is really cool and fun, but kind of poignant movie. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll check this out. So just to kind of on a whim. And it's called The Wild Robot.
Oh, okay.
And it was really, really good. The plot is kind of this robot crash lands into Earth. And there's a bunch of them, but they all kind of die out apart from this one. And he's like...
The last robot.
Exactly. Exactly, Sam. You're understanding.
I think I've seen the poster. He has like a little bird friend, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, he has a little bird friend.
Okay,
yeah.
That sounds
fun. So the other part of the plot is he's trying to teach this bird how to fly.
Okay.
But he is robot.
But he's a robot. Does he do the flapping?
Cannot fly, yeah.
That's,
yeah, exactly.
That sounds amazing.
It's super cute.
Is there any like dialogue in this film? Or does he talk to himself?
Yeah, I think there is some.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
From the robot, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. Or from the bird.
Yes. Or both.
Or both? I don't know.
It was really, really fun. So yeah, if you ever get a chance to watch that, I would highly recommend it. Do you want to talk TV shows?
Yes, TV shows.
I think there's one big TV show that we have to talk about.
I think there's probably two of note.
Okay.
Maybe three.
So the one I would say is the big important one is probably Celebrity Traitors.
Yeah, I've got that on the list. Yes.
Which... Oh, I didn't know they could make Traitors better, but I genuinely think they did.
Yeah, so I my expectations were quite low for this because celebrity versions of TV
shows...
Yeah,
they tend not to be as good. Yeah,
They're a bit like watered down, aren't they? They're not...
Yeah.
They're not because they're not really interested in the money in this one.
Yeah.
It's all about their reputation.
Yes.
And their personalities.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of already established as... There's personalities. They already know what they are, who they are and what they're like.
Yep.
So it's a completely different game, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Alan Carr, of course.
Legend.
Was the most unlikely...
Oh, God. I don't know how he got away
...of traitors. Because he cracked so many times, didn't he?
Yeah. Yep.
And he was just sweating profusely, constantly.
And obviously, we're in the middle of another traitors season right now. We can't talk about it because this is for 2026. But yes. Stephen is basically the same character as Alan.
He's always
so
yes.
sweaty and so like over the top with reactions, and like he's yeah. so funny.
I think it's they so just funny. I think just because they're such nice people yeah. that they just can't see past that, and they can't suspect
no.
them.
It's crazy. Like they just get away with literally murder.
Yeah, he can say
it's so good.
Yeah, exactly. He yeah. I think there's a part, wasn't there, when you have to say that you're a traitor to everyone else.
Oh, you
left.
Have to say that you're a faithful.
So you have to say that you're yeah, a faithful. Yeah. And he could not.
He couldn't do it without laughing.
And no one even no, thought that no, that was a problem. They just thought, oh, that's just Alan being
yeah,
Alan.
Yeah, just Alan being Alan. Yeah, totally.
So you're right.
Funny.
He just couldn't.
And like my favorite scene from that whole thing, which nobody else picked up on, is that there was like a moment with a flower, and he had to like touch the flower and then touch someone's face.
Yes.
And he doesn't just kind of like poke the flower; he like caresses
he does caress
flower.
The flower.
So yeah. like he stood there for a good like 20 seconds, just like getting his hands really yeah. in that flower.
And he really knew what he was doing. He really played the character well.
Oh, perfectly.
He?
Yeah. It's like, so funny.
They got really good value out of Alan Carter, didn't they?
Yeah, totally. That the whole TV show just lapped it up.
Without him, I don't. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, some of the others did it really well.
Yes.
But he just sort of completely played that part. He knew he was in a game.
Yeah.
He was just playing it up for the
yeah,
for the
yeah,
TV
of course. And he did that perfectly, yes. as you would expect from Alan Carr. Yeah. So that was my main probably TV show from
yes.
that year.
I would say that's the best show of the year.
Yes, exactly. So what else have you got on your TV list, Sam?
Well, so I've got one that's noteworthy.
Yep.
But I didn't enjoy as much. So so it's called.
The show is noteworthy, but I hated it.
yep, yes, on. Yes. It's memorable.
Memorable, but in a bad way.
It's called The War Between the Land and the Sea.
God. So yeah, I also watched this, but for some reason
Did
it didn't
make
my
list. Well, it was just, I put it on my list just because it's so memorable.
Is it?
And I thought it started off really well.
Yeah, the like first two or three episodes were really good.
Like lots of political intrigue. Yeah. You know, from Russell T. Davis.
And then it turned into The Shape of Water
and
for
then
some
it, And then it just became, it just divulged into this...
romance.
Like a romance drama, but, yeah. you know, with a fish.
Yep.
And I wasn't on board. And I did watch it. I watched yes. all of it.
I watched all of it too, begrudgingly.
Begrudgingly is the word. but it's certainly one of the most memorable shows of the year.
Yeah, it was definitely an experience to behold.
Okay, have you got a better show than that?
Yeah, quite a few actually. So I wanted to just like, I feel like I say this every year, but like Taskmaster just every year is perfect to me. I keep thinking like, oh, I don't know these people that well, it's not going to be that good, yada yep. yada yada. And then you watch it and you're like, this is great. I love everything about Taskmaster. Please give me more. More, please. And it's so good. It's like, this last season was just amazing as usual.
It's always that first episode that's quite difficult to watch because you're like, oh, I don't like these people that much. They're not as good as the last group.
Yeah, yeah, you always compare, don't you?
But then you build up and then they become just as good.
I think this
as...
is the thing. You have to be there for the whole season.
Yes.
Because you have to like meet and know the characters for it to fully work. If you just dip in and out and watch one episode here, one episode there, I don't think it works that well.
No.
But if you watch the season, so good.
Yeah,
so
you build up. They build up like a relationship as it goes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
As it goes along. Yeah, you can't just watch clips.
No.
It doesn't work here.
Yeah, yeah. There's some very funny isolated clips.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff that happens around those clips is sometimes even better than the isolated clip.
Yes.
Like Greg just taking the mick out of people for doing something incredibly stupid is hilarious.
Yes.
And I also watched Junior Taskmaster this year.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that one.
And I didn't enjoy it as much. But I think that's because they couldn't have Greg in that role because he is so mean.
It wouldn't work with
and
children.
And he would just destroy those children. So it's done in a slightly different way. They have every episode, there's five kids, and it changes every episode.
Oh, okay.
Apart from the semifinals and the finals. So it's almost like a competition style of thing. So they have like five new kids every week for the first four episodes, and then the last three episodes are semi-final, semi-final, final.
Oh, okay, that's clever.
Which I thought was quite cool. It was a little bit different. But Rose Matafeo is brilliant, and Mike Wozniak is also amazing.
Yeah,
Mike Wozniak is hilarious with the kids as well. But it's not quite original Taskmaster to me. Okay, personally.
So is he playing the Alex Horn role?
He is
role?
Essentially.
Is that the relationship between those two that they've?
Yeah. So but, Rose Matafeo is Greg.
Yeah.
And Alex Horn is no, sorry, Mike Wozniak is Alex.
I can see that. Yeah,
so
I can
much
see those
so
two
that
work.
One of the kids walks in and goes, "Hi, Alex," and then goes, "Oh, wait, Mike." It's so funny,
right?
And they're like, they were talking about it in the studio afterwards, and they were like, "These kids haven't even met Alex."
That's funny. You kind of just associate that role with Alex.
With Alex,
been doing it for so long.
Yeah, it's his show. It's his baby.
It's his format. I don't think I realized that he. I think it was the Edinburgh Fringe Festival that he used to actually just put on Taskmaster with.
Yes.
He just had some of his friends come along and just
do
a show. Just do a show of Taskmaster.
Yeah, that was just the show. And then somebody at some point picked it up and put it on TV.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't
which
it?
Which is, yeah, it's crazy.
He just used to do the show with random, his friends, his comedian his friends, and just put it on as a show.
Yeah.
And then it's...
Which is pretty wild.
Yeah.
So yeah, go on then, Sam. What else have you got on your list?
Okay, so my next one's quite serious, but I thought it was worth mentioning. It's called Adolescence, which is the...
Oh, I didn't put that on my list, but I should have done. That show was really good.
Yes.
I
it's
really
very,
enjoyed it.
Like, culturally significant and noteworthy. And also, the way they filmed it was all done in one shot.
It's incredible.
Someone makes one mistake, they'd have to literally just go back,
reset the whole thing,
and I think they had
it's
to
crazy.
But I think I read that they only actually sort of filmed them like four or five times. Like they just rehearsed it so well that they could just do it.
It's almost like a dance at that point. It's like everything, like you have a big rehearsal space and you just keep rinsing and repeating in that rehearsal space until it's done.
Yeah.
And then you film.
And then you film. Right, okay, so you don't... Right, okay, which is different, I assume.
So it's almost like doing a stage show, right? So you do a stage show and you rehearse and rehearse, and then you get to go on the stage.
Right, okay, so that's the performance. That's
exactly,
performance.
Yeah.
So I thought that was very...
Yeah, it was a really, really good show. That should have been on my random stuff.
Okay, that's my one.
I'm going to do an old one. I finally completed my quest to watch all the 1970s episodes of The Muppets.
Oh, exciting.
Which I really enjoyed, actually. I really, really enjoyed watching old school episodes of The Muppets. I didn't know 90% of the celebrities that were on it, because my knowledge of the 70s is somewhat limited, having not been born at that point. So yeah, that was interesting. But there was a few people on there that obviously I did recognize, like Roger Moore.
I can't imagine Alice Cooper acting against the Muppets. I can imagine him with Animal from the Muppets.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, yeah.
I can imagine them getting along quite well.
And there was obviously lots of other crazy people on there that were fun to see. So
did they do like sit down interviews with them?
Not really.
Like
no.
Is it like a talk show? Is it like Jimmy Kimmel but with Kermit? No.
It's kind of like a variety show. So there's like a bunch of there's beats that they always hit, right? Mm-hmm. So there's like different scenes that are very similar from week to week.
Okay.
Almost like episodic in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also bits where the celebrity comes in and they do like performances. So some of them will like sing or they'll dance or they'll perform a skit with the Muppets.
Right.
Just like something, right? So it's all kind of shot like in a theater, as if there's a show going on.
Right.
But there's like bits that are behind the scenes where they're like arguing about dressing rooms and stuff
so
like that.
So bizarre.
It's a great show. It's really good fun. It's a big commitment. There's like over 100 episodes.
Oh, okay.
But, it's really good. I really like it. And that is what I think they're going to do with this new Muppet show that's coming out soon. I was screaming last year that I want more Muppet stuff because they were taking Muppet stuff away in Disney World.
Yes.
But they've now announced that they're just moving the Muppets to another place, essentially.
That's okay.
And they're doing a Muppet show, which, you know, it's fine. More Muppets.
Yeah.
The more Muppets, the merrier. We joked about them, like, because Disney owns so much IP, they can obviously do, like, Muppet Star Wars. And... you know, like Muppets, everything. Like Muppets, anything that's a Disney thing
anything that's...
without any licensing issues.
Oh, that's true. Yes, they could literally just put out Muppet Star Wars, couldn't they?
Yep.
And it would be a huge hit.
Yep. Muppets Avengers. I would watch the hell out of Muppets Avengers.
I don't know why they don't do that, unless they think it would be somehow
damaging to the brand of the Avengers. Maybe.
Which I don't think anyone's particularly...
No. No.
Or maybe there would be some like hardcore Marvel fans that would be say, oh, no, you can't.
I'd like to see the Avengers, but Robert Downey Jr. is the only human.
Yes.
Everything else is Muppets.
Oh, there has to be one human. Yes, you're right. Robert Downey Jr., would he do that? Maybe.
Well, after he was done being Iron Man, he did that Doolittle movie.
Yeah, he did the Doolittle film.
Where it was just Robert Downey Jr. and CGI. I don't see why he can't play opposite the Muppets.
He's coming back again as Dr. Doom.
Yes, which is going to be something. That's this year, I think. So we'll talk to you about that next year.
Oh, so we'll talk about that next year. Yes, yes, yes. We can all look forward to that next year.
Exactly.
I mean, this year.
So what else have you got under TV? I've got two more shows.
I've got two more. I'll go quickly through this one, because I don't think you've seen it. It's called The Rehearsal.
I have not seen The Rehearsal.
Okay, so this guy called Nathan Fielder.
I thought you were going to say Fillion for a second.
No.
I've heard of him. He was in that show.
It's quite difficult to explain. It's kind of, he does all these sort of like social recreations of things.
Right.
So for example, this series is about airline pilots.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a theory that airline pilots need to communicate better to like stop potential accidents and things like that.
Right.
So what he does is he recreates an entire airport and fills it with actors to try and get them to sort of communicate better, to like learn to communicate with each other better. And so basically, and it all culminates in him. So he wants to film what happens inside an actual airplane cockpit, but you're not allowed to do that under law.
Yeah.
So what he does is he learns how to fly a Boeing 747.
As you do. Easy peasy, 10-minute job.
So he does he does that over a few years.
Yeah.
Then he has to hire a Boeing 747.
Yep.
Not many people want to give him one because he's not a qualified airline pilot.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he finds one.
Yeah.
And then he wants to fly a passenger flight full of passengers. He's not allowed to. So what he does is he hires a load of actors to be passengers. And they do it for free because they don't pay for it. They're acting. He can do it legally.
Right. Okay. Yep.
And so he basically flies over the desert, the Mojave Desert, with a plane full of actors.
Yes.
Just to film inside the cockpit, just as part of, and it's quite a crazy thing. I've never seen something like that on TV before.
Yeah, okay.
It's quite a unique thing.
That is pretty crazy.
He just does things that crazy,
complicated,
like social complicated. Yeah. It's interesting. It's quite good. You might like it. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
So yeah.
Yeah, it sounds semi interesting. My two are less sensible. Okay. I've got two other shows. Man on the Inside. I don't know if you've seen this.
Oh, so I haven't seen the second series. I've seen the first one.
Second season was really good as well. Obviously, the plot of this is as stupid as you would expect it to be. It's a Dan Schur show. So the same guy who made like Good Place and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Essentially, it's... what is his name? Guy from The Good Place.
Ted Danson.
Yes. There we go.
He's also in Cheers.
Yeah, yeah.
But mostly The Good Place.
He plays a not reluctant. I think he likes being a spy, but he's not very good at it.
Yes, an accidental.
Yeah.
Or yes.
Kind
okay.
of like an American Johnny English kind of situation.
Right, okay. Come
if on. I can say it that
yes,
way.
A spy.
Yeah, so and he sort of is at it again, but the different location.
Okay.
Different job. Kind of situation.
The first one he was in a care home, I
Correct.
Think.
Yeah, yeah. This time he's at a college.
Oh, okay. Is he like a professor or something? Or
He was a qualified professor before he went
He was.
To the
That's
care
right.
home. His whole plot was that he was depressed about his wife dying.
Yes.
So he wanted a hobby of some description. And then solving crimes.
Decided like a private detective or an insider... spy.
They needed someone to infiltrate the care home, and Ted Danson was the man for the job.
The natural selection of spies.
Exactly. That's who I would pick too.
Yes, he's very covert and doesn't stand out, does he? He's a very normal
yes,
normal
exactly.
guy.
Yep. Go on then, what you got next?
I've got one more.
Yep.
It's called Pokemon Concierge, and it was the second season.
I should have put this on my list as well.
Which is a very heartwarming claymation story about Pokemon. A life on an island as a concierge.
Super cute. I love that show. Yeah.
And yeah, there's not much to it. It's just a very fun, lighthearted, feel-good kind of show with some Pokemon and solving Pokemon's problems.
Yeah, exactly.
Which are not particularly big problems.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. Well, Psyduck is also involved.
Yes, exactly. And he's one of the main characters. Big problem. The other one I have on my list is another sitcom, Kim's Convenience, that came out.
Oh, I've not seen this one either.
Yeah, it's really good. Simu Liu is in it from he is the Shang-Chi guy.
Oh, yes. Okay. I remember him thinking he was very good in that.
Yes. Yeah. So he's really good in this as well. And there's a bunch of other people in it who are also really good.
Hmm.
The basic premise is they're a Korean family who run a corner store. And just the kind of jokey fun stuff that kind of happens in and around that. And it's all about relationships between each other and that kind of stuff. So that's quite fun. Good. A good watch if you ever get a chance.
Yeah.
Another nice short one, six seasons or whatever.
Oh, is it a long one? Yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah. I like to recommend shows that are hard to
commit.
Just
a slight commitment.
Exactly. So I guess next up, Sam, we have music.
Oh, music.
You forgot about music, didn't you?
You were ready
to go into games, but you forgot about music.
Yes. Okay. Music. I don't really have that many for music, but...
Yeah, so the one thing that happened to me this year that was quite annoying is last year, it was really easy because I could look at my Spotify Wrapped.
Mm.
But this year, I went to look at it recently and the Wrapped is gone.
Oh no, doesn't exist. I didn't realize they took it away.
Yeah, so I can't view it anymore. So I really struggled. But I have four things. They're mostly... artists' albums kind of situation.
Yes.
What about you?
Mine are mostly artists as well.
Okay, cool. All right, so I'll start. Yeah. The one of the artists that I got a little bit obsessed with this year was a band that we saw in the summer of this year together. I went on a binge of Scouting for Girls. And I spent a lot of hours listening to Scouting for Girls songs that I'd never heard before. And that was super fun and interesting. I like on Spotify the This Is playlist.
Yes.
So they're called This Is and then band name. And it's just kind of all their biggest hits.
They're really good playlists.
Some of their less big hits.
yeah, they're really good curated playlists, aren't they?
Yeah.
Just the good ones.
Basically. Yeah, exactly.
Not necessarily just the most popular ones,
yeah.
But just the ones that you're going to want to listen to.
Exactly that. So I went on a bit of a binge of that and enjoyed it. It was fun. So what about you? What's in your hit list?
I was listening to a lot of Sam Fender this year.
Oh, yeah? Okay, yeah. Yeah, I listened to his album on your recommendation. It was very good.
Yeah, he's good. He's kind of a British Bruce Springsteen is kind of the sound that he kind of goes for, a big stadium kind of rock kind of sound, which I enjoy, and it's quite a fun, upbeat album.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend that
one. Yeah, it's a nice one. Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Good shout. I'll do the other artists I got a little bit into this year. Not quite as much, but Rizzle Kicks.
Oh.
I weirdly went on a Rizzle Kicks kick for some reason. they kind of did a new album.
Mm.
Some of the tracks on that were really, really good. So I got invested into those, which is a bit of a weird one, but I quite enjoyed it. So
yeah, no, they're back. They're they had a new album. Don't know that they, because some of those artists are coming back. I know is it the other one was the Wombats, they're back as well.
Yes, yeah. Franz Ferdinand.
I wouldn't say Franz Ferdinand was as big, but I know the Wombats are quite regularly on the radio.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Which I was surprised, but their new music is quite good. It's
nice.
Not. It's sort of kind of up to date, I suppose.
Up to date.
Some bands just keep the same sound, don't they?
Yes,
and they never
change. They've changed a little bit.
We might actually.
Yeah. The example I always use is really good at changing is Paramore.
Yes.
Paramore used to be a really rocky band, and now they're not.
Well, they
I know they've changed all the members basically, but yeah.
Well, no, I think only one left really.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a bit complicated. So there were two main writers that were behind the whole rock sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They both left.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think the drummer came back.
Right, okay.
So it was just one of the people left, basically, overall.
And that was less rocky.
Yes. My next one actually is Hayley Williams from
Oh!
Which is strange.
So she did a solo album.
Yeah, right? Her solo album is quite good.
I haven't listened to it yet.
It's an interest. It's quite a unique... It's very different from Paramore.
Yes.
It's more like, I don't know, experimental maybe. Okay. A bit less rocky, more pop. Strange, unusual pop sounds.
Yeah, but I don't mind that. That's cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one. So that's Hayley Williams.
Yep.
From Paramore.
Nice. That's a good one. And so now I have to talk about the thing that we predicted from last year.
Ooh.
I was hoping that Sub Radio would release an album. And they did that.
They did.
In May of 2025. And it's a really good album. They got together with like some random producer that I'd never heard of, but they were very excited about. Made a really, really good album. There's lots of bops on it. And then they immediately went to hiatus after they released it.
That's annoying when that happens.
No, I was so annoyed. So they like went on tour, finished their tour and went, yeah, we're going on a hiatus now. I was like, no.
Why would they do that? I'm still waiting for
something. So annoying.
It's annoying when they announce they're going on a hiatus with no end.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no end. So there's a band that I will probably talk about more next year that I got a little bit obsessed with this year, at the beginning of this year, which is I Heart Dragons.
Oh yes, you sent me this.
They've been on hiatus since 2023.
So it's about time for a new album.
So what I need is, now that Sub Radio has gone away, I'd like I Heart Dragons.
You need something
to
fill it.
Sorry, I Fight Dragons. I keep saying Heart. I don't know why. I Fight Dragons is what the band's called. If you ever get a chance, it's chiptune rock, which I can't love. So yeah, that's
and it does work, that sound, even though it probably shouldn't work. Yeah, it's like some guitar sound, but then you've also got some.
I've seen it described as Nintendo core.
Yeah, okay.
All the artists in the band are like guitar and Nez.
Oh, Nez, as in that's the music that they're playing.
Yeah, so they play the guitar and they also play the Nez, as in like they make the sounds
you
with
can
the
play
Nez.
Because you can play the notes that it would have produced on the chip, can't you?
Yes, exactly, which is so cool. So yeah,
that is very cool.
I think it's very cool. So yeah, I've become a little bit obsessed with them. I'm just listening to their This Is thing at the moment, and that's all I'm listening to pretty much.
No, that's really good. But it's really upbeat as well, isn't it? And positive.
Exactly,
and they do a lot of good cover songs.
Yes,
I've heard.
Mm-hmm. So I've got one song left and then I'm done. What about you? How are you doing?
Yeah, I've got one more left.
Okay, go for it.
So we created a playlist because we created a light up sign for our KIGA camp.
Yes.
And we spent a lot of time on this project and we...
Not the playlist, the sign.
Not the playlist.
The playlist was really easy.
But yeah, no, it's... So when you listen back to the playlist, like, you get good memories of the project that we had together. And it's all sort of... I think it's very like rocky, upbeat music.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a good memories of that period of the year.
Of us, in the Scout Hut, losing our minds.
Losing our minds.
In the middle of the night,
but also,
trying to get LED sign work.
Yes, but it was also very a fun experience.
Oh yeah, sure. It was an adventure, wasn't it?
when you look back on it,
And at some point, we'll get that up and running again and get it in the hut. But that's a problem for later. there was a song that I got obsessed with this year. Which was by Kate Nash, of all people.
Oh, okay. Was it Foundations?
No, it's a new song called Germ, and it was in response to the horrible, horrible things that the Supreme Justice Court decided to do to trans people.
Yes.
And it's such a great, like, rebellion, like, angry, annoyed song about the whole situation. And it originally started as, like, a kind of, like, a spoken word thing she was just going to put out on like TikTok or Instagram stories or whatever, and then she was like, well, I could put this into a song and it would probably go further, so she put it in a song and then it did really well, and now she's performing here, there and everywhere.
That's
that song, which is really cool. So yeah, it's really good.
So it's like a protest song almost, isn't it, that she's put out. That's very cool.
So yeah, it's called Germ, and it's very good if you ever get a chance.
We'll listen to the song. Which is cool. That's cool.
So yeah, and then I guess we go into the most important section, as this podcast is called Gas About Games. We should probably talk about games, Sam.
Talk a little bit about games.
So did you get your Nintendo Wrapped, or whatever it's called?
Yes, I did.
Did you look through this to gain some of your statistics? Because that's what I did.
That would have been smart.
Okay. So I played 12 games this year.
Well, that's a lot of games.
And 181 hours.
Ooh, which okay.
Isn't loads, but it's a bit.
It's substantial. It's a bit.
So yeah, I have 6 games that I really enjoyed this year. How many do you have?
I have 5 games.
5 games. Okay, because you stuck to the rules.
Fine.
Okay, well, I'll start seeing as I have the most. So I really enjoyed a game from the past, which I spent a lot of hours in. I really enjoyed Roller Coaster Tycoon 3.
Oh, yes, I remember seeing you playing. Yes, I remember you talking about this game.
I was so obsessed with Roller Coaster Tycoon 3. I spent so many hours in that game. It's great fun. I really like it. It's a simulator game building theme parks, basically. And I was fairly successful at it. Hmm. I didn't really do a lot of the building of the actual roller coasters.
Okay.
I just kind of like the building the theme park and making it profitable.
Okay.
I thought was quite interesting. You can also build all the roller coasters and stuff. But some of that is, because obviously it's a game designed for PC, it's complicated on Switch.
Bit fiddly, is it, to
a little bit in places
draw the lines or whatever,
that kind of stuff. So I just kind stuck with the management side of it as opposed to the designing side of it.
Yeah, but I've certainly enjoyed it. Got addicted to sort of management kind of games like that before.
Yes, yep.
What was that? Is it Arcade Paradise? Is kind of a similar.
Yeah, I apologize for that.
I assume that's kind of like a similar kind of thing. It's like a daily thing, and you're like, you do these tasks every day to make money. Is it kind of like that? Or
it's a little bit. It's even more higher up than that. Almost, okay. Because you sort of like hire cleaners and like hire maintenance people to look after the roller coasters, and then you put roller coasters in and make sure those roller coasters are making profit while the people inside of the parks don't think that they're too expensive, all that kind of stuff. So you're like kind of managing all the people in the park and all the rides in the park, and the park's profitability as a whole.
Oh dear. That kind of sounds a bit stressful when you just explain it like
that. They give you challenges to complete, so like make your park value X amount, or like clear your loan, or make this park profitable, but you can't charge per ride, you have to charge just entry fee.
Right.
So you have to like build the park up, build the entry fee up, and make profit that way. So like it gives you challenges, and I smash all of those challenges.
That's good. Okay. It does sound very I can see why you'd get addicted to that.
And also some of the parks are like really mountainous. So they're really hard to put like roller coasters and stuff on.
Oh,
or you have to like manage land and like get land moved down and stuff like this. So yeah, it's all very...
There's a lot to it. There's a lot of complexity to it.
Yeah, yeah. Considering it's a game that's like 1,000 years old, it's super fun.
The guy who... I think, you know the company DeepMind for Google?
Yeah.
Well, I think he started creating artificial intelligence for games.
Oh, okay.
I think it was...
Roller Coaster Tycoon.
It was one of those.
Yeah.
I think it might have been the first. Or was it theme? Games sort of thing. So there's a lot of complexity into that.
Yeah.
So you can go from that to.
You can see every single person inside of the park.
Yeah.
And you can see what their interests are and like how much money they have and like what they're planning on doing. Obviously you don't do this very often because it's way too granular, but you can literally
this person
having a good time? No, they're not. Why are they not having a good time? Oh, because the hot dog they had earlier on in the day was too expensive. You can literally draw.
Oh wow, that's crazy, isn't it? So that level of simulation for each person in the park is unbelievable.
And you can have like, I had parks where they'd had 700, 800 people in, and each and every one of those people was represented by a name, gender, and like all the different information you'd want to know about that person.
Insane, but yeah,
it's insane. Yeah, but obviously they had to create some kind of system.
You have to create a whole a world, don't you? Yeah. A whole simulation to that, which is very cool.
So yeah, obviously it's a game that came out in like the 90s or early 2000s.
Yeah, but it was the beginning of.
Exactly. Anyway, what you got next?
I have Captain Toad Treasure Tracker.
Oh, a classic.
Which is a game we played together.
Yes, it is a game we played together. We haven't quite finished it yet.
The greatest of all the Toads is the Captain Toad.
It is definitely the Captain Toad.
I mean, we spent a very long time trying to find like a handle for it, a key for a door, right?
Oh, yeah.
We spent like far too long.
Yeah, and I was like, we're going to have to look this up. And you were like, never.
We were determined. But I don't think that was even the end of the level. I think we just missed like a tiny little gap in the wall.
Yeah, we just missed
to get to the
stupid
end.
Yeah, yeah.
And this, yeah, we just spent a very embarrassingly long time trying all these ridiculous combinations of things to try and get. It's like, oh, it must be something to do with this flower. Or,
yeah.
Oh, maybe if we stand here and jump up and down a bit.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's so annoying. Yeah.
Well, let's reset the level because we need to definitely kill all the enemies in this set order or something. Yeah. It's like, no, that's not the solution.
The game's really fun. I really like it, actually. It's more fun than I thought it was going to be.
Hmm.
I sort of poo-pooed it when I looked at buying it because it's like 20-30 quid and I was like I don't know, this game is worth it. And then we played it together and I was like, actually, this is quite fun.
It's fun.
It's I think to make it more fun, you got to play co-op.
If you played it single player, I don't think it would be
it's not as fun,
the same experience. Definitely.
So another game, I'm actually going to just join two games together because I quite enjoyed both of them, but I didn't love them.
Hmm.
So I'm just going to kind of mention both of them at the same time. So I'm going to mention Banjo-Tooie, which I finally finished. We did an episode about Banjo-Tooie, but we only had a month to play it. I finished it finally. And it was, it was good fun. It's an all right game. It's not obviously as good as Banjo-Kazooie, but it's fine. And then the other one was Yooka-Laylee, which is second Yooka-Laylee game. The Impossible Layer. The follow-ups to the original games are both not as good as the original
ones. That's a shame, isn't it?
It is a shame. So the first Yooka-Laylee was good fun. I really enjoyed playing it. And then the Impossible Layer, I did not enjoy as much. And then the same with Banjo-Kazooie and Tooie, which is a shame.
It's a shame. They got it perfect with Banjo-Kazooie, basically, is what we're saying. And they couldn't improve on it, basically.
No. Yeah, like Yooka-Laylee is a really fun game. Okay. Like the original Yooka-Laylee is a really fun game.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, they changed the play style, and I don't know why. Like, rather than it being a 3D platformer, most of the game is 2D.
Oh, okay.
Which that's cool. I was like, I don't mind 2D platformers, but
it's not what your expectation was.
No,
after the first one.
Yeah, exactly. Bearing in mind the first one is like all 3D platforming.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very weird. But, you know, it is what it is.
Fun that they changed up.
So. Yeah, it's true. I don't think everyone shares that opinion, but that's fine.
Oh.
Anyway, your turn, Sam.
I have a Tony Hawk's 3 plus 4, which we also played together.
Yeah, I've always loved Tony Hawk's games. I never really got into them when I was younger.
Yeah.
Because they didn't really, well, they sort of did, have Tony Hawk's games for the N64. They seem to be almost PlayStation exclusives.
I think there was one on the N64, but I didn't play it. I don't think it runs very the frame rate, I think, is very
horrendous. Okay.
You can imagine, and like foggy, and it runs at like 3 frames a second.
Perfect,
which is what you need for a Tony Hawk's game.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the remake of 3 and 4.
Yeah.
So it's all the levels.
I got into it when I got the GameCube, though. I played... I had Underground, and I spent a lot of hours playing Underground, and American Wasteland I spent a lot of time playing as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're both fun. I'd played 3 a little bit, but I haven't played 4 at all.
Yeah.
And playing some of the levels in 3 again in new, like, shiny, high quality was super fun with you.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? I mean, I'm particularly bad at the game, but it's still fun anyway.
I don't think I'm very good at those games either, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, you play the, like, mini games mostly, obviously.
Yes.
So you play sort of horse and you play sort of all that fun.
Yeah, I think horse is probably the most fun. I'm not really sure why, but it does get quite competitive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you're trying to get that high score. It's like, oh, I need to get more than 500.
Like, our scores are really abysmal.
Can I get
Can I somehow combo a little bit higher than the person before me?
Yes.
And then the person before you will go from scoring like 500 to like 20,000.
Yes.
And you'll like, be like, no! And then you'll score like 21,000 and you'll be like, ah!
Yeah, it just sets the benchmark higher and higher, and then it just gets so competitive, and it's so very fun.
We're really terrible at it, but it's good fun, and that's what matters.
We are. It's good.
So yeah, my next game on my list is a game I really enjoyed, but was really short. Stray.
Ooh.
Really good game. People say on the GameCube it's not as good because the graphics aren't as good, but I think it's still a visually stunning game, and it's great fun to play, and super cute. You get to play a cat in a post-apocalyptic world. What's there not to love?
So dark. Is it quite lighthearted, though, considering it's, even though it's the end of the world?
There are moments that are like post-apocalyptic-y, but you're still kind of a cat, and it's still, you get to do cat things.
Okay.
Like, it offers you the opportunity to do cat things.
Mm.
Like, you know, like walk up on surfaces and knock things over and
cause
all kinds of chaos and all that kind of stuff. So, and like run into people and trip them up and all that kind of thing. So yeah, there's opportunity to be a stupid cat, but there's also opportunity for peril.
Okay, is there like a serious story going on at the same time?
Or is it more... Yeah, vaguely.
Okay.
But it's not like, nothing is mega like time sensitive.
Yeah.
So you can kind of noodle around a little bit and have a bit of fun.
That's what it's all about.
So yeah, it's a super great game. I think I played it for not long enough. If I played it again, I'd explore more.
Okay.
But I still had a great time.
So yeah, it's difficult because you don't know where, you don't necessarily know when the end is going to be. So
no,
you don't know.
No. But yeah, no, really, really good game. Really, really good game. Go on, Sam, what you got next?
I've got Mario Kart World.
So I've only played a little bit of this. I've not played loads of it, but it's a really fun game.
Yeah, it's good. It's very much just Mario Kart.
You can ride on walls now.
So, yeah, they've added...
and the cow.
Well, yeah, that's it. So they've added a lot more fun Mario characters.
Yes.
Such as the cow. There's like a fish, I think, or you can play as like the Shy Guy or all sorts of like random Mario characters you can play as. And it's basically just a big open world. There's a whole big open world you can explore. There's also another mode where you can go between levels. It's like a tour, like a grand tour kind of thing. So you're driving between stages and that's quite fun as well. Mm. But it's very much just your standard Mario Kart.
It's Mario Kart.
Kart, but more characters and just looks a bit nicer, really. There's not much... I can't really say anything bad about it, but it's not groundbreaking, but it is just what you want.
What you want. It's a great multiplayer game to play with your friends when they come around.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not really a story-based game where you have to... The game.
No, there's no story.
The next thing on my list is Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope. I've not quite finished it yet. But I am very much enjoying it. It's good fun. I really, really like the original, so I may be slightly biased towards that. But this is also pretty fun. It adds loads of new weapons and new characters and all that kind of stuff. And there's a little bit of plot in there as well, just for fun. I've been really enjoying that. So I will continue to play it. Thank you. Case rested.
Okay. Case closed.
Case closed.
The defense rests.
Yeah, exactly. Go on then, Sam. What you got next?
I've got one more then.
Have one more.
Called Donkey Kong Bonanza.
Oh, I really want to play this. It looks really fun.
The most fun thing, it's very satisfying just to break through. So every sort of element of the world basically is destructible. You can just punch through massive cliffs of things. And it's just very satisfying to do that, just to completely destroy the world. It's very similar. It's the same people who made Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
So it plays very much the same, now you smash things. And...
So we thought that there was going to be a new Mario Odyssey game for
Switch
2.
And we
were close, but we got Donkey Kong, which was a surprise. That's not what we expected at all, which was cool.
It is possible that it started as Mario Odyssey 2, and then they just said, this doesn't really make sense for
Make
Mario.
Make it Donkey Kong,
Kong smashes, so let's do that instead.
Yeah, that's cool.
And you got like, but you got like fun abilities as well. Like you can be a zebra different animals and things that you can turn into.
Tanuki Donkey Kong, stuff like that.
Stuff like that, exactly.
That's cool. You put on a special hat and you become the animal. Classic.
It's kind of. Mm. You play songs with Paulina.
Oh yes, from she is the mayor of New Donk City.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Okay. So you sing songs with her and then you turn into different creatures and
that's fun.
Yeah, lots of singing and dancing in that game.
Okay, cool. Well, that's what Donkey Kong's been known for, like since Donkey Konga came out.
Yes, true.
You know, they almost like they had the rap in Donkey Kong 64. This is my lore in my head. Mm. And then at that point was a pivotal moment for Donkey Kong to become a musical.
Yes.
And then they had Donkey Konga, and that was a big thing. And then now they've got this.
Yes.
Which I think is
it's amazing.
About time. They didn't have anything for the Switch that I know of that was musical, but that's fine. I'll pretend that doesn't exist. The next game that I played that I really enjoyed was called Florence. Really, really short game, but very, very cute. Sort of like indie game, as a lot of these type of games are. It's weirdly like there's not really a lot of... and this is going to sound like a bad review, but it's not. There's not a lot of actual gameplay. Mm-hmm. It's more about the like story.
Yep.
It's a fun sort of like storytelling game. You have to do a little bit of like bits and bobs, but it's a really fun story. It's a good story.
Yeah.
It's a good story. I wouldn't say it was fun. It's a good story. And yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. It sort of took me probably an hour or maybe 2 hours to get through, but I only spent like £2 or £3 on it, so it was definitely worth it. So yeah, if you ever get a chance, play Florence.
I like those kinds of games, just like a small experience built in. It doesn't take hours and hours to play, but you just get a nice...
That was what I liked about Arcade Paradise, is I got COVID, I played through all of Arcade Paradise, and then I went back to work.
Yeah, okay.
It was like, it was kind of perfect, because I just like sat there and did that, and that was my thing. And I really enjoyed that. So, yeah. So, a good year, all in all. Do you have anything else you want to cover?
No, I think we've completely covered
all of 2025 that matters.
Yes.
Everything else, chuck it in the bin.
Exactly. They can go in the bin.
So here's what we're going to do, wonderful people. We are going to come back in a couple of weeks and we are going to do another episode. Ooh. And in that episode, this is like a teaser, Sam. Get excited. We're going to be talking about the future of this podcast.
The future of this podcast.
And what we're going to be up to in the next year or so. So we're happy to be back. Welcome back. And also goodbye.
Amazing. Yes.
So yes. Anyway, I think we end this episode by saying something like goodbye.